Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we're here tonight live from Philadelphia to recap the latest episode of Big Brother Canada 7. Tonight with me, I have, in the same room but on a different computer, Brent Walgemont. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great, and I'm happy that the Lord of the North did not get his way.
Yes.
Is that what we're calling him now?
Yeah, also with me is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing well, although I am sad that I wasn't able to join you guys out there in podcast house. So it looks like you guys are having a good time. But, you know, I'm holding down the fort out here in L.A. So, yeah.
Yeah. Someday we'll go to L.A.
Please, maybe. Someday. No, I keep telling everyone we need to have one of these know-it-alls in L.A., but not for know-it-alls, for Big Brother. You can do know-it-alls too, but let's do a Big Brother one. That's more important to me.
I think so too. We did have some technical difficulties. We are on a new YouTube link, so hopefully everyone was able to follow over to the new link and they can be watching now. But we are here to talk about this eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 7, where we saw Corey leave the house due to the secret assassin twist. We haven't gotten your thoughts on... we have gotten your thoughts. We talked on the roundtable about this. But Melissa, it's official now. Corey is gone. How do you feel about this?
I feel great about this. Look, Corey is probably a very nice person in real life, but she was terrible at the game. She didn't know what she was doing, and she was just a total puppet in the game. And not only that, that's one thing in and of itself bad, but she thought that she was this mastermind, awesome player who was controlling the game. And that's what pissed me off the most, is that she knew nothing but pretended and thought that she knew everything. And that's the kind of player that I hate the most. So, I mean, if you're going to have somebody who's a total puppet and who has no idea what's going on, at least own it. Like, at the bare minimum, just own it. But if you're going to sit there and be like, I'm running this house, like, they have no idea what hit them. They tried to lie to me and they couldn't do it. And now look, Sam's out the house. It's like, you are so bad. You're so bad. So, I'm just glad she's out. Enough is enough. I'm glad that we have still the remaining people that we have.
Yes. And Brent, Corey, she took some shots in that eviction speech. She talked about how Adam and Kira, they showed their true colors by still standing up and trying to help out Sam, even though Sam had thrown them under the bus, which told Corey that they're weak players. Brent, they're weak players.
She's delusional. And then what she said to Dane about
weak-minded.
Yes, weak-minded, exactly. And what she said to Dane about, you know, hey, if you vote to evict me, you will not have my vote. I mean, blackmail always works great when you are on the block. I mean, not. So I don't understand what she was going to, why she decided to say that or what she had in mind. I think that it was just dawning on her and Anthony over the past 24 hours that they did not have control of this vote, that Dane was not going to keep her. And this was a last-ditch effort. In fact, I wouldn't put it past Anthony if he was the one who told her to say that in the eviction speech. Feeds up or down, obviously, for part of the day because of the taping. But it sounded like Anthony was talking there. So I don't know if she really was the one who decided to say that or not. But it was, either way, it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, and this whole thing about her saying that Dane won't get her vote. I know that you and I both, Brent, had the same thought as soon as she did that, which was, oh, that's really good for Dane, that she's telling everyone that he doesn't have her vote, because now people are going to start to look at Dane as somebody that doesn't have jury votes, because he should be a massive jury threat. But if people start to think, well, maybe people are going to be mad at him. You just know that Dane is going to be talking about this all week long. He talked about what Kiki said about him before her eviction for so long. He used that to his advantage so well. You just know that Dane is going to be, well, I guess I don't have any jury votes. Guess I can't win the game. Oh man, Melissa, how am I going to go through this anymore?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's interesting to me because it seems like it's kind of a good play, like to kind of threaten people like that. But then she was like, she basically said, like, Dane, if you vote me out, you do not have my vote. If you keep me in, I'll be so loyal to you. Like, I'll be the best. Like, I'll be right with you every step of the way. It's like, can you really believe that if she's telling you that if you vote her out, like, you're dead to her. You're done. Like, I don't know. It's hard to believe that someone would be totally and completely loyal to you where if you make one different decision, they're done with you. You're dead to them. So I just feel like, I don't know. I always like when people go out fighting. So at least she went out fighting, and I do appreciate that. Do I necessarily think that that came from her own mind? No, I think maybe Anthony told her things to say. I don't know. It seemed like a lot of people were into throwing Dane under the bus tonight. I mean, if you saw Mark's goodbye message where he was like, this was all Dane. Dane was the cause of everything. It was kind of weird. I don't really know why.
This person's game and this person's game, and he sewered this person's game.
Yeah. Like, why? Weird. Why is he doing that? I don't know what his end game is. And honestly, I don't think he has a good end game because Mark's bad. Like, this whole time I thought, like, okay, but like something's going on and he's piecing things together and he's figuring it out and he's going to like, he's leading us somewhere. Now I realize like he has no idea where he's leading us. And if anything, he's leading us in circles. So Mark is a bad player. He's just so bad. The whole time I was thinking like, he's a dark horse. He might pull ahead and, you know, we don't know what we're going to expect from him, but he's just bad now. We all know it. Corey's bad. We all know it. Esty's bad. We all know it. They're all bad. Except for Adam and Dane.
Well, I do think that, I think here's the thing. I think that Mark was trying to do what Josh did in Big Brother 19, where he was trying to use the goodbye messages as a way to garner votes. But he did it in such a haphazard manner that I don't think it's going to work. And obviously, he was wrong in what he was saying. He was like, Dane is the reason that you got backdoored this week, Corey. But that is not true. Obviously, she found out later on that Adam owned the fact that he was the secret assassin. Also, I will say that things are lining up really well for Dane. Not only did you have Emmett in the audience saying that Dane was his pick to win the game, but in doing so, in the eviction speech by saying that Dane is not going to get her vote, I have to feel like, you know, the way things are shaking out, it's looking better for Dane because people are going to be looking at Adam like, okay, Adam, Sam's in jury, and now we know that Corey's definitely not voting for Dane, so she has to vote for somebody. So I feel like Adam's threat level continues to grow, and I feel like that with what Corey said in the eviction speech, that his threat level continues to diminish a little bit, when in reality, he's the chalk pick to win the game.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it for, really, you know, for a little while now in this past week where, you know, Anthony really was in control, but he really went out on a limb this week, to protect Corey, which was, you know, it was a good move. He needed to protect Corey, but at the same time, I think that once he realized that he was going to lose, he needed to back down. And he did not do that.
Yeah,
because I think that he was too used to getting his own way, and he felt like, I can make this happen. And then even when he found out I can't really make this happen, he couldn't accept it. And so he needed to just be, you know, bitter about it.
Yeah, exactly. He was trying to fit a square peg through a round hole. Like, this was never going to work. Obviously the four boys disagreed, two on one side, two on the other. And he realized that, and it didn't, like, even when he was trying to explain it to them, it didn't make sense from their point of view why they should keep Corey. He was sort of having to jump through these logical hoops about how he still controls her, but yet she thinks for herself, and yet she still put up Dane last week, but yet he still controls everything that she does. It was just a big mess, and he got off the train eventually. Like, earlier today, he was able to, you know, what once Corey, they didn't show this on the episode, but Corey basically said to Adam that, I'm going to go after the physical and social threats in the game, and the people that are, you know, protected on all sides. And there were a couple of people that she wasn't going to go after, and so Adam was able to figure out by deduction that it's going to be Dane who she's saying that she'll go after if Adam keeps her in the game. And so that got back to Dane, and they took that to Anthony. And once Anthony heard that, he was like, he had to say, okay, I get it. You know, if she said that, I get why you guys are evicting her. I don't like it. But I do think by that point, the damage was done. And he really shot himself in the foot. I mean, depending on how things shake out with the HOH competition, I think there's a better than average chance that Anthony's going to end up on the block for the first time. And I wouldn't have said that a week ago.
Yeah, something interesting that we saw was that obviously Anthony had been evicted or had been campaigning for Damian to be evicted this week, all week long. And yet he ends up casting his vote to evict Esty. And that's kind of something that came out late in the game. I think as Anthony started to realize that he wasn't going to get Damian out, he started having some conversations over the last 2 days with Damian, talking about how he never wanted Damian out. He always wanted Esty out over Damian, because I think he is a little more threatened by Damian, even though Anthony will tell you he's not threatened by anybody. Nobody. I'm not threatened by anybody. I can beat you, and I can beat you. That's how this works. But I think he is a little more threatened by Damian than Esty. And so he worked on Damian and tried to convince Damian that he was always on Damian's side, wanted Esty out. And I believe that is why he cast his vote here for Esty. Melissa, do you think this was the right call?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. The odds are that Esty is not going to win. For some reason, they think that Damian has odds to win, even though he hasn't won so far. If anything, Damian and Esty have the same odds. But I feel like it was a good move. But at the same time, it maybe will piss Dane off because Dane was with Esty. But I just don't feel like it really matters. I feel like they all knew he wasn't going to vote for Corey. And it's kind of just like, whatever. Yeah, his vote was a throwaway vote.
His vote was a throwaway vote, and the horses had left the barn at that point. So there was no point to that. It was just either or. I felt like it was going to be the same result, and he had already done enough damage to his game throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, this could just be my sleep-deprived brain, but I'm pretty sure that Damian in his eviction speech said that this time he has three people sitting next to him, which, sorry, Damian, there's two people sitting next to you. There's three people on the block. In that moment, I was like, this is why Damian hasn't won any competitions.
It makes sense.
It was a night of nonsensical stuff. The same thing happened in the eviction interview when Arissa's talking to Corey. And, you know, they said, you know, what are you going to say to Sam when you see her in jury? And she's like, you know, see you soon. Like, you're going to say see you soon to Sam when you see her? Like, these people are not good with live TV. live TV, in quotes.
They all have weed brain.
Yeah,
it's really apparently infecting everyone.
I was just gonna say that I do want to talk about Adam's goodbye message, because I thought it was a great goodbye message. I feel like he got out all the information he needed to get out in that short span of time. He explained the game. He like threw her allies under the bus in a good way, where it's like, oh, by the way, we've been working together since night one. And he named the alliance, like gave the name of the alliance, because you know that people are always like, oh, it's more real when it's named. And if it's not named, it could just be anything. So I think it gives more credence to the idea that they were in an actual alliance, not just like, oh yeah, we were working together. Cause when Dane said it, she was like, yeah, duh, we know. Like, of course you didn't know, but like, she didn't understand the full extent of what Dane was trying to explain. So when Adam goes out there and he throws all that out at her, I was like, go Adam. Nice. That is the way you should do a goodbye message, because he did it also in a way that wasn't like, haha, in your face. I just feel like he laid out the information and was like, this is what happened. And this is why you're in the jury house. Boom. Yeah, done.
It was great. It was concise. It was articulate. He knew exactly what he wanted to say. I really felt like you could tell that he was a fan of the show, because more than anything, I felt like that it really made everybody else's goodbye messages look worse. And also, even though Corey didn't respond right away, I do feel like as time goes on, Dane's message combined with Adam's message, she'll like, her brain's going to start to turn. And even though she was playing it off on the live show that, you know, that doesn't make any sense. And of course it doesn't make any sense to her right away, because Anthony and Adam were on opposite sides. So how could they be in an alliance together? But once she starts to think about it a little bit and combined with Dane's message, I do feel like that reality will set in on her.
Yes. And I think also she's going to get to the jury house and see Sam soon. Once she gets there, Sam already has a lot of the pieces necessary to put this puzzle together. I don't think she ever knew the name, but if Corey comes in saying that Adam said that he was working with Mark, Anthony, and Dane, and they were called the Pretty Boys, Sam will be like, they called themselves the Pretty Boys?
Yeah, exactly.
But Sam will be able to kind of fill in like, oh yeah, yeah, they have been working together for a long time. I'm really looking forward to Corey and Sam in the jury house together, because Corey has so many apologies to make. I think it'll be fun, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see. I always love when they do those jury segments and they show like each person's arrival and the reaction. I know that like a lot of it is basically staged, but it's still so fun to see, because, you know, they always say who they want to come in, and then it turns out that they like it's a surprise or whatever. And it's always great. I always love the jury segments.
Yes. And, you know, I am very excited about the fact that Taryn, Melissa, we have other people who are in the RHAP community who are in this house tonight. And I want to ask them to come over. Matt, Carson, you guys want to come over and give your thoughts on the episode tonight? I can step out for a second. Taryn, keep talking.
All right. I think Brent needs a quick nap, maybe. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show.
I don't need a nap. I just want to get more people in.
We also saw, of course, the Secret Assassin twist, the archive room finally coming into play here.
Yes,
where Adam is going to find the flashlight. And what I thought was really funny was that in real life, he found the flashlight and then waited a few days before they let him use it. But in the episode, he found it and then immediately used it. And they pretended like people could walk in on them. But I really doubt that was actually what was happening here, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of twists generally. We all know that. But putting that aside, if there is going to be a twist, I do like the idea of having a twist where they actually have to do something to get it. Like, I like the idea that he had to go on the scavenger hunt, and if he couldn't do it, then he doesn't get it. Like, it's not just automatically there, and it's not just handed to him. I like the idea that he has to work for it, and he has to like work through these clues and all that sort of stuff. I mean, sure, it wasn't that tricky, but it was cool to see that, like, first of all, anyone could have gotten it. It wasn't purposely planted there for him. And, well, at least that we know of, that we've seen. And that he had to actually do some work to get it. Like, you know, when William a few seasons ago had to try and get that veto by like sneaking around and climbing through the walls. I mean, that's something you want to see. And if only they had showed it on the feeds, you know, all that stuff. So,
yeah. Kirsten and Matt are joining us here. What did you guys think of this secret assassin twist? I mean, obviously, the outcome is something that a lot of people were looking for. But in terms of the actual twist itself as well, did you think, was this fun TV?
Well, I feel like they edited it to be really fun TV. Maybe it wasn't so fun in action. But again, like Melissa said, it's really great when people actually have to put in a little bit of work to get something. It's nice to see some level of effort going into it. But like, I feel like they probably wanted Adam to have it. Like, if maybe someone else was getting close to it, I could see them getting a stop that. What I really love is like they've been counting the boxes and paying attention to them. Like, it's going to really mean something later on. And like, hopefully that doesn't mean anything. And then people have wasted their time counting that this whole time.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good because it wasn't there was like no interference from a vote. Like, Damien didn't get it automatically from a candidate's vote. It wasn't like a flop like the everybody decide who gets the blood veto was. So it was just kind of happened how it did. And the end result was great because Corey is gone, baby. Woo!
With Matt the other day when the spoilers came out that this had happened, and he literally screamed in public, "The season is saved, everything is fine." And I was like, okay, I don't think the season is saved. I was dealing with that for quite a while, like the past few days, and thankfully it worked out, so Matt's gonna be okay,
and we're all better for it. Yes,
yes.
I'm so happy for you, Matt.
Mary is also with us here. I wonder, you come over here. I'm wondering, Mary, were you excited to see Corey leave the house here and be nominated?
This is so cute.
This is very bizarre seeing people across the room.
They're not across. No, they're in a different country. Yes. They're in Canada.
Right, exactly. I was happy with Corey being nominated, mostly just because I think she didn't see it coming at all. And her face was very priceless the whole time watching the twist come up before she realized that she was doomed. But, you know, it evens it out because she had a bad week. Mark had a bad week. Just everybody had a bad week on that side. So I'm happy with it.
People are wanting to know where your dad is.
My dad's at home where he belongs.
He's not here.
We need him to improve our lighting. It's kind of dark in here.
It's a little dark. They have better lighting over there, I think.
It's true. It's not fair.
We were strategic about our side of the room.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about the episode, Mary?
Not really. I enjoyed it. It was fun watching it with other people for once. So it was fun watching Kirsten realize what it's like for us people in America to watch this show. So that was fun.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary, for joining us.
I see you guys all have guests. I actually have the war dog right here. I'm just kidding. I don't. But that would have been really funny.
I have a bone to pick with him after last night. My friend.
Tell him I think he's a legend.
I will tell him that. No survivor spoilers.
But. I would still like to talk to him. Thank you. And it's not good.
Uh-oh. Well, he's not here, so sorry.
What are you going to do?
Next time.
So we also saw the fallout of the initial nomination or replacement nomination here from Mark, where we got the lovely segment where everyone is bashing Mark. Everyone is telling Mark that he did a very dumb thing. We even saw Damien get heated, saying, yeah, like, oh, I've been so cool all season long and not anymore. Now I'm going to be angry and cool at the same time. Wow.
I was so happy when him and Esty both called him out and told him that you're making the biggest mistake. Like, this is going to affect your game. I mean, think about it. The three people that Mark put on the block this week are all still there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's such a bad result. So, I mean, I was really glad that Damien and Esty both, and obviously everybody else, all called him out on it, because, you know, a lot of the times people get put on the block and they kind of just like get defeated and they're just like, oh, okay, I understand. And then they'll go to their friends or their alliance or the cameras or in the diary room and be like, oh my God, I'm so mad. Why would he do that? That's such a bad move. But they won't tell it to his face. And I was so glad that people were just over Mark this week and they were just like, look, I'm going to tell him like I feel. So it was great.
Yeah. And this isn't like a Cody Nixon, like when he nominated seven people, or it was actually five in the first week of BB19. This is the final seven. Mm-hmm. And Mark just had to put three people on the block and all three people are still in the house. So, I'm sorry. That was final eight. We are now at final seven. You take Mark out of the mix. That's half of the house that could have won this upcoming HOH. And, you know, we'll get spoilers later, but half of the house that, that he put on the block last week. So that's pretty unlucky for him.
It's not good.
Yeah, well, hard to control the Corey thing, but well, still.
I mean, yeah, I mean, ultimately here, you know, this might be a situation where Mark looks back and says, oh, I got screwed by a twist. And certainly he did in many ways, but he also really got himself into a lot of trouble here with the way he went about the week. Mark, if you haven't been following along on the feeds, has spent the last couple of days convincing himself that he accidentally won the triple eviction because there are three people on the block. And so he thought for sure that two of them were going to go home. And he's very pleased. He talked himself into being very pleased. And anytime anybody brought any issues up, he was just like, but guys, what if I won the triple? What if that happened?
Well, and the thing is, though, is like even before the Corey twist happened, he had already completely, to coin a phrase, sewered his game with his entire HOH week. Like all of this was bad and he should have just put Corey up in the first place and people would be, you know, better off with him. Like they wouldn't have such distrust with him. Like he really put himself in a very poor position before this ever happened. Mm-hmm. And then the twist came in and like, sure, that makes it a little bit worse because one of the people he put up definitely didn't go home. But like either way, it was still going to be two out of six people, you know, other than him that he had put up that didn't go home. And that's not great anyways.
I think there was a mistake tonight because Mark was telling us all week that he won the triple eviction, but only one person went home tonight. So I'm going to have to believe Mark and just think that like Big Brother Canada, Arisa, that there was an error made tonight and they still need to evict one more person before the night is up. I think that's what's going
just
on.
A double.
No. Oh, yeah. They need to get everyone out of the house.
Just get everyone out. Just do it.
Like,
well,
just, you know what? The season's over. Get them all out. Donate the 100 grand to charity. Let's go home.
Wait, I just want to say something really quickly that I felt like the show did a pretty good job of showing like what had happened. Obviously, you know, there was a lot of pretty boy talks, a lot of campaigning by Corey that didn't make the edit. But I feel like in the end, they got it right. I mean, you saw how bad Mark's week was when he was talking with Damien and Damien was like, dude, this is a cowardly move, man. Mark's response, thank you. Like, I mean, he has no empathy in it. He's so awkward. Like, he can't help but not be awkward. But Taryn and I were talking, like, even in the end when they were starting the HOH competition, and Arisa's like, Mark, as the outgoing HOH, you cannot compete. And he was like, he's just so constantly fake and awkward. It's just terrible. It's such a terrible look.
I don't think it's fake.
Well, I agree. It's probably him. He's just naturally bad at this.
Also, yeah. Like when they're, you know, confronting him about this stuff, like Damien and Esty, he's just like, well, yeah, guess so. Maybe so be it. Like, he just wouldn't even like discuss anything with them. He wouldn't even entertain the idea that like maybe he messed up or even try and make them like him more. If anything, he just pissed them off more. If I'm mad at someone and I'm telling them like, you've made a huge mistake, and they're like, yeah, well, yeah, so what? Whatever. I'd be like, oh my God, like, I can't even talk to you. No wonder they both just got up and walked out of the room. Mark's like literally tanking his own game. Like every time he opens his mouth or even doesn't open his mouth, he's just tanking his game. Just like, it's a constant downward trajectory.
What he should have said was, I'm really sorry that I intimidated you.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. And Anthony didn't look any better this episode. Anthony was terrible this episode. He just looked so bad.
And he could have looked worse, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Mark has half the house telling him that they don't respect him and that they won't vote for him in the end. And he's in the diary room being like, yeah, that's just what happens when you're HOH. People get mad at you. Everyone has people telling him that they don't want to vote for him in the end. that just must be what happens.
He's so dismissive.
Yeah, we did see that clip of Anthony, you know, hovering over people, pointing in their faces, and Adam says, "Hey, don't do that." And
I love when Adam calls him out on that.
This is the perfect. This encapsulates Anthony perfectly when he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry if I intimidated you." Yeah. I just this morning when I did the update, they had a conversation where they were talking, where Anthony said, "Oh, Dane, I get that you're frustrated," and Dane was like, "I'm not frustrated. Like, I know you're frustrated." Stop doing that. I'm not frustrated. And then Adam is like, Anthony, you're frustrated right now. You're frustrated that Corey is going home. And he's like, I'm not frustrated. You guys are frustrated. And it's ridiculous. There's so much posturing that goes on between these guys. It's absurd.
I think that's what happens though when you have a bunch of like, you know, four heteros who are just like trying to show who's got the biggest, you know what. Like, that's, I feel like that's for the most part what's happening with these guys right now, especially Anthony, who considers himself a real man about town. I mean, just a bad look by him overall, and I can't really believe that anybody takes him seriously at this point in the house. So he's got a tough road to hoe. Like we said last week, that Adam was, you know, he had just taken the lead. I think it was the first time ever that something had switched insofar as the most popular player in your poll, Taryn. You know, Damien was the most popular player for the longest time, and now Adam moved ahead of him. I feel like going into this coming round table, given what Adam has been giving Anthony lately, I feel like it's going to be a wide margin of people who are pro Adam. It's really amazing to me that he's been part of the majority alliance for the longest time. And really, I feel like is the fan favorite at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, definitely in it here with a chance to win. You know, this thing, I do think this thing with Corey benefited Dane in the game, but it is something that you have to think about, that if Adam does get there to the end with Dane or really with anyone, it's looking more and more like he might have the votes. Corey seemed a lot less frustrated with Adam. She said he was weak-minded, but you know, those words came straight from Anthony. And Anthony's also very mad at Dane. As we kind of alluded to before, Anthony was having some conversations with Mark where they were talking about how to sewer Dane's game with the jury and make the jury bitter against Dane, because Dane wasn't voting with them. Dane being in that position kind of in the middle, where he was, because basically what was happening was once Corey went on the block, Adam said, I'm voting Corey out. I don't care. Dane said, I'll hear you out. You know, we'll come to a consensus. Like, I'll hear you out. And usually that works great for Dane. But in this instance, because he gave them some hope, it made them more angry at Dane, I think, in some ways than they were at Adam, because they gave up Adam and they were focused on Dane and they kept being frustrated by Dane because he wouldn't switch over because he really had made his mind up. And so they were very mad at Dane and they were trying to sewer the jury against him here. I don't know if it's going to work though, Brent.
Yeah, I was going to say, this goes back to something we've talked about many times over, Matt. Like, it's always about who the betrayer is. And I feel like in this scenario, like Corey thought for sure that Dane was with her. Anthony thought for sure once Corey went on the block right away, he's like, well, we've got Dane. Like, I don't know how much of that was posturing on his own part to his own self, like trying to convince himself that we've still got Dane. But I do feel like he knew that Adam was probably a lost cause and Adam was probably the secret assassin, but Dane is still with us. And so like in that instance, it's always easier to be mad at the person who you feel like stabbed you in the back. And even though Dane really didn't stab them, hit them in the back, I'm sure Corey certainly feels that way. And Anthony does feel that way to a certain extent, that Dane is the person who stabbed them in the back because they always knew that Adam was a lost cause. And Dane was the person that they really felt like was up for grabs.
Corey just was mad at the whole world. I mean, and getting outwardly angry or anything or fighting her. Her pitches seemed a little weak, but I think she also was kind of caught off guard, of course, by the way she was put up. But I mean, she was the way she was talking about it, like, you're such a, like, whoever it was such a coward. They had to go through a secret power to put me up. Like, yeah, welcome to Big Brother. This happens. you're not going to always get put on the block by a normal HOH or whatever it is. This happens once in a while. Sorry to break it to you, but maybe you should have watched some more seasons. But no, maybe she did watch seasons, but she was, I don't know what she was doing. Just happy she's gone.
Yeah, well, so something that I was thinking about, especially during Corey's speech, where she's talking about how Adam and Kira are weak-minded, and she's really like going at it and making these big speeches and making all these kinds of mistakes. And, you know, she's got the tattoos. And I was thinking, it felt like when Corey came into the house, she was kind of like Allison. She was kind of like sweet. She was kind of shy. And then over the course of time, under Anthony's influence, she became a Veronica. And it's like, how did she get here? Do you see this, Melissa?
Yeah, totally. Well, totally. I remember when she had to do her task and we were all like, oh God, I hope Corey can get it. And now we're like, get Corey out of there. It's like you change when you change under the influence of who you're around. And she surrounded herself with Anthony. I mean, imagine if she surrounded herself with someone else, Damien. Like if she had stuck with Damien, imagine the Corey we would have seen. I just think that especially if you're not super confident in your own game, you start to take on whoever you're with and feel like, okay, this person's got it figured out. This is how you play the game. This is how it's done. And then you just kind of learn that way and it just keeps going. And it's reinforced by that person, especially someone who has as much influence on people as Anthony does. So it's, yeah, total different Corey than when she first came into the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sorry. I was going to say something, but it just went out of my head real quick. I can't remember what I was going to say, but
it's the same. My head is so cloudy.
Here's a little secret. I normally have a like pen and paper to write stuff down. And usually like when Melissa or Taryn is talking and I think of something brilliant to say, as I often do, then I will just write it down on a piece of paper. That way I never forget. But I don't have one here. I feel naked, Matt. This is bad.
You know, everybody in the chat is very concerned about you tonight because you're being so quiet and soft-spoken. Like, you don't, like, if you go back through the chat, there are a million messages. Why is Brent so quiet? Are people sleeping?
Like, you need an app.
No, it's not that. It's, look, I got the same old Brent's right here, okay? I can talk normal like I normally do. I'm right here, people. The problem is that Taryn's mic is so freaking powerful that it picks up every little sound from here.
Very powerful microphone.
It does.
Yeah.
So, that is why I have been quieter than normal, and I've been trying to have a professional podcast, but then people call me out, so, you know.
They're asking if you're okay,
I am doing great. I won $400 at the casino earlier today, and so, who's happy? Me. I'm happy, right?
Yeah,
come to me. What, by the way?
I just want to say, it's not that I'm controlling Brent's volume, because I don't control Brent's volume. It's just that I have a very powerful microphone and I'm very smart. And so he listens to me when my powerful microphone picks him up.
I'm sorry you're intimidated, Brent.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're intimidated and I'm sorry that you're frustrated. It's fine. It's fine.
Being frustrated and intimidated, the guy who normally is not trying to be frustrating and intimidating is Anthony. And I was very taken by a tweet that Doom, one of our people who is often in our chat, said earlier today when he was talking about the fact that Anthony has spent so much time with Corey over the past two or three weeks that he's operating off of old information in terms of who Damien or Esty or Kira would target if they end up winning HOH. Now, I don't know that that's like totally true after the way things have gone this week. He might have an idea that they might come hunting for him if he wins HOH, or at least in the back of his mind. But it really does show just how much damage he's done to his game over the past 2 weeks with him really going to bat for Corey and really going all in with her and really neglecting his relationships with other house guests. And not only that, it's not just the other house guests. Obviously, the Pretty Boys are the weakest they've ever been in terms of moving in as one unit. So I really don't like where Anthony's at right now. The good thing for him is that he's got a little time, and also Mark is a target in front of him, most likely, if they both end up on the block. So we'll see. But he's not getting a 9 from me this week, I'll tell you that.
Just wait till you get to feeds, until we get to feeds in the next coming minutes.
Okay.
You'll get the Anthony update.
Yes. Well, I think it's about time, unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up from the episode, Melissa. But I think it's about time we get into the spoilers. So if you're going to bounce out here, thank you for joining us. I apologize if Brent is too quiet for you. You know, sometimes
it'll literally never happen again.
Yeah, sometimes we get to turn the volume down, and it's a thing. But I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you and also apologize for any lack of clarity in my own brain for the sleep stuff. We're in Philly. But I think we've had some fun. This was a good episode. I think it's been a few good episodes. So I will be back, of course, tomorrow morning at I might have to be a little earlier, actually, because I think we have to bounce out of here by 11. So we might have to do an earlier update tomorrow morning. Just tune in for that. I'll tweet it out when it comes. And of course, it'll be on the podcast feed when it comes out. But I will be updating you on the feeds tomorrow morning. And then, of course, Sunday night, we'll be back to recap the Sunday night episode of Big Brother Canada 7. And then Monday, we'll have the roundtable. We'll update the stock watch, do all the things. So check all that out. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can find Brent at One Lucky Gay, and Melissa at Melissa. It's Melissa. It's Melissa.
Wow, Taren.
The three A's.
Everyone loves this part. Everyone loves it when you plug my Twitter.
Look, I got another chance. This is just the practice round. This is
and
not
now you got it wrong. Oh my goodness. It's Melissa with three A's.
Okay, there you go. Well, it's time for spoilers. So if you don't want the spoilers, get out of here. We don't
want
you.
Get out of here.
We never loved you. Never did. All right. It's time for spoilers. We know the next HOH, the HOH competition has ended. We have a new winner. Melissa, who is it?
I think it's Adam.
Yes.
I was like, I'm not the person to ask. I haven't been like monitoring.
It is Adam Pikes.
All right. Yes. My new favorite player. Everyone, I'm all in on Adam. Huge Adam fan right now. Just so you guys all know. And
Adam.
I literally was like, wow, I guess I'm an Adam fan now. And there we go. Now really am an Adam fan.
Adam has won 6 out of the 10 competitions.
That is insane.
Played in. I'm currently like looking up Kevin Martin, but even it's hard to even compare that because Kevin threw so many competitions, but like it is absurd. This has to be some kind of nearing some kind of record in terms of percentage won. It's certainly better than we got from Erica last season, and she had the best percentage there. Again, it's going to be hard to really compare. We can maybe compare to Dimitri because he wasn't really throwing many competitions. But let me know in the chat if you can do any of those statistics for us. But this is really crazy. And you know what? As soon as I saw this competition, I was like, I feel like this is Adams. I feel like he can win anything skill-based, anything athletic-based. It's almost always going to be Adam. The only one he ever really lost that was skill-based was the button competition that Dane ended up winning. Mm-hmm. And that was really a lot more luck than skill, in my opinion. So, man, Adam as HOH once again. The question is, for me, is this good for Adam? It certainly keeps him safe for another week, but I don't think he was in a ton of danger. And now he has to betray someone because Damien feels good about him. Esty feels okay about him. I think if he took Esty out, that would probably be his best move, in my opinion. But the thing that he should be doing is taking Mark out. And will he realize that? And again, that would be a massive betrayal here, Brent.
Yeah, before we get to like the moves and stuff, just this definitely, besides the fact that, you know, he might have to betray somebody, make, you know, some hurt feelings on the way. Now that he has won this HOH and this is the last week because the double eviction's coming up, that he won't be able to play in the veto comp as HOH, he will every single week going forward have an HOH or an opportunity to comp east his way all the way. a reason why he can't do it for, you know, for a few more weeks. I think he's set up well.
Yeah. And very quickly, the double elimination veto, if it is what it usually is, some kind of running back and forth, I have to imagine Adam has a big advantage, a big leg up in terms of winning that one. And also Adam knows the strategy for competing in competitions like that. He explained to Damien about the puzzle competitions, how to do those. So I definitely say that Adam has a very good chance of winning the double eviction HOH, even if he is targeted. So he really could win out here, Brent.
Yeah, he could. I am a little concerned that maybe he might. I hope that doesn't bite him in the ass, him teaching Damien how to do stuff like that. By the way, if he wants to go after Mark here, he has the whole house behind him. Mm-hmm. But he's gonna have to pick a horse. I really don't think this was a good idea to win this HOH. On the other hand, I know that you were talking about he's not in much danger, but apparently Anthony was a runner up. It was between Anthony and Adam at the end. And I don't know that he felt comfortable letting Anthony win HOH, considering the way things had gone this past week. And I also don't know what Anthony would have done. I mean, sure, he could have put Damien and SD up on the block. And I know he was talking about getting SD out of here. But are you, you know, once you make a move like that and take a pawn off the board, now you're the outgoing HOH and you have all of these, you know, big guns over here fighting against you who are a little bit mad at you right now. So I do feel like that he has to make the move here to get Mark out of the house. If he does not, then he's going to have to go after somebody who's currently on his side in SD or, you know, Damien. And that's not a good look. He's probably going to have some hurt feelings there. And for what? Just to save these two guys who are currently plotting his demise? Like, he has to realize that. And I do see on the feeds that he's talking to Dane about the fact that, you know, should I blow it up? Should I go after Mark right here? I don't think you should have either. Given that he has won it, I do feel like he has to make the move, but will he figure that out? He may not figure that out. He might want to say, oh, I'm going to stick to the boys, but I'm hoping that the gamer in him realizes that this is the time to cut bait, get Mark out of the house and off him.
I have a feeling that Anthony might have made the move against Adam this week. I mean, he's really upset about the Corey thing, as much as he's trying to show that he's not upset, like, or at least he was. He's clearly upset. And I think he takes it out. I think he will take it out on Adam. Because, you know, Adam, if he ever finds out that Adam is a secret assassin, although they all assume he is. So I really think that Adam could have been in danger had Anthony won the HOH. So even though it's like, well, in the long term, is it his best move to win HOH? He could have possibly been safe. I think if it's versus him versus Anthony, I think Anthony is the type of person to have taken that shot at Adam. So I think, honestly, I think Adam made the right choice in winning.
I agree. And also, Taryn, I know you like to talk about the fact that, you know, who's going to get Hoffman out of this group. Third juror was Matt Hoffman, you know, and that's what's coming up down the line here going into this double eviction is the third juror. So I'm interested to see if Mark is Hoffman's out of the pretty boys, or if he's able to survive. If Matt holds his hand here and does not push the button and decides to go after, you know, I don't know, again, who is he going after? He's not putting Kira up on the block. Maybe like he could put Mark and Esty up on the block and, you know, sort of name Esty as his target, but you know, the house isn't going to stand for that. And obviously I don't think Mark would either. But on the other hand, the other thing too, that I actually just remembered is that Mark named Adam as a nominee last week and Mark did not want to go on the block. So Adam may feel empowered to name Mark as the nominee this week, along with Esty. And I mean, obviously I want him to put up Mark with Anthony, but I don't think he would be that ballsy, Matt. I think he would probably put up Mark and Esty. Don't you think?
I don't think he's putting up Anthony right away. I think a lot of them are still intimidated by Anthony, you know, on a daily basis. It's just he's such a big presence. You don't want to be on his bad side. And, you know, they're still pretty boys loyal to a certain extent. So, you know, they're Anthony's, of course, going to be in Adam's ear for the entire next 24, whatever it is, hours until the nomination ceremony. I would say Mark is pretty much a lock to go on the block at this point. Adam was saying that even today. He's like, you know what? I guess Mark would be an easy one because that fits my storyline now. So Mark's gonna go up on the block, and then we'll see if I don't know, SC is probably the easy choice, but it depends, because as I said earlier, there's a lot going on in the house right now, so things might be moving around a little bit as we speak.
I will say, I don't think that anybody can be Hoffman at this point. I think that in terms of like the Hoffman move, that is taking somebody out, like sweeping them under the rug, as Anthony might like to say, or Corey might like to say, and just kind of getting them out without anything blowing up and having everyone else on board. If Adam goes after Mark or Anthony, that's Fallout Civil War. That's blowing things up, I think.
But Mark went after Adam last week. So how can Mark say, well, this is Civil War by going after me?
If like, he tries to get him, if he puts up Mark and Anthony on the block by the end of the week, that's...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but if it's Mark and Esty, though, I do feel like that.
And even then, like if Dane votes to evict Mark, it's not going to be like Anthony's on board to take Mark out. You know what I mean? I feel like Anthony will be like, no way, and the whole thing blows up.
Yeah, I guess. I think there's going to be four people voting again this week because of triples. So Damien, Esty, and Kira. Well, of course, if Esty's on the block, she can't vote. So Damien, they're going to need Dane's vote if they want to get Mark out. Yeah. Wow.
I did see Noah Salmon in the chat pointed out the statistics here. Kevin won 7 out of 13 competitions, which is about 53%. Now, we knew he threw a decent amount of the ones that he lost. So that statistic, maybe not the best one. Dimitri won 7 out of 17 for about 41%. And Adam currently has 6 out of 10, which is 60%. So, at the very least, somewhere in there between Kevin and Dimitri. And if he continues to go in this way, then it will definitely be up there.
And if he gets Mark out of the house, then that's the only other person besides Dane who's won a competition this season. So I do feel like that, if he thinks about it, he has to realize that this is the correct move. Obviously, Mark didn't give a shit about Adam's safety when he decided to throw him up on the block last week. I mean, I know he said, technically we have the votes, but why did he even touch the block in the first place when you've got Kira and Damien and Esty in the house and even Corey? Like, why was Adam touching the block again? Can someone please explain that to me? I'm sure Adam can't find a reason why, so he's got to be pissed about that.
Sam put him up and he didn't save him with the veto. And
yes, That's a very good Mark impression.
I think
that there is a move for Adam to make that is not going after the pretty boys. I think that basically what Adam, because I think if Adam takes out Mark, that's great for Dane because, then Dane still has Damien and Esty, and Adam will only have Kira, and Anthony will be mad at Adam. And so, I think he's in less trouble there because they're less of less competition threats. But he will still not be in the best position in the world. If he goes after Esty, then he's leaving Mark and Anthony in the game. They're big threats against him. So what he needs to do, regardless of which way he goes, because I think he can go either way, what he needs to do is ensure that if through the course of this week, that whichever side he leaves untouched is not coming for him come the next week. He needs to either make sure that Damien is fully on board with him, even over Dane or something along those lines, or he needs to win Mark and Anthony back over and convince them that Dane is a bigger threat, at the very least that Dane is a bigger threat ahead of him, so that if he leaves Mark and Anthony in the game and they decide to take a shot, that Dane is the one they take the shot at. And that's not too far off at the moment, because they have been talking about like, whoops, what if we accidentally get Dane out of the house? Wouldn't that be crazy? They hate Adam, but they kind of recognize that Dane might be the bigger threat. And so they may be going after Dane first, and that would be good for Adam. So I think his main goal here shouldn't be in like who he targets, but how he targets them. And that's exactly what we saw Mark get wrong, Melissa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We saw Mark get everything very wrong this week. I mean, the whole thing was just bad. He pissed off everybody in the house. And it's just, it was not a great week for Mark. And if anything, like Mark is a non-entity for me at this point. I don't think he has any chance of winning this game.
Ruined my stock watch, that jerk.
You think he ruined my stock watch too?
Did you ruin your stock watch?
Hey, whoa, that's a statement. And I think it's a little It's a little of both, to be fair, mainly me, because I'm such a moron. I bought both Mark and Damien right when Damien was on the block and he was going home at that point until whole Corey thing. But honestly, I was like, I'm all in on Mark. And then he does this. And he pulls this garbage. I was like, are you serious? So, Had to do a little bit of selling of Mark this week.
Yeah. And I would also say if Adam is thinking this way, I'm not sure if he is, But this is probably not going to be a day's comp coming up with this veto. So I don't know like how he wants to go about, you know, getting Mark out, if that is something that he would want to do. But this would be a great time to get Mark out right before, you know, the end game is usually filled with the day's competition. So if you can slide Mark off the board like right before that happens, that's like probably the best move that I can think of right now, just in terms of Big Brother Canada competitions and your you know, who you're battling at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to say was, Taryn, you were going over the possible options there about what to do. I think option A was far more preferable than option B. I think that is trying to put together the Pretty Boys again and get their loyalties back in terms of Mark and Anthony, trying to convince them to go after Dane. I especially after he just won this competition again and he's 6 for 10. Like, I really feel he has Kira there as a number. Like, I really don't think that there's a way he can convince them, like, in a perfect world, to guarantee that they go after Dane before him. Like, I feel like that's a lot harder to thread that needle rather than the flip side, which is to guarantee to Damien and company that, you know, hey, I'm on your side, and, you know, I want to make sure that I'm safe. So, I can see your wheels turning. What do you think?
Well, I think that he does have an in with them in the sense that Anthony thinks he's a moron. And Anthony, I believe, does not think that Adam can win in the end because Adam has a terrible social game and won't get any jury votes. And so I do think that they are more threatened by Dane at the moment, even though Adam's winning. I mean, listen to what Anthony says. I don't care about competitions. I don't care. I can be all of you guys. So I think that there is a way for him to convince them to go after Dane first. I think it's what they're already inclined to do. All he has to do is prevent them from targeting him first. I would like him to target Mark and Anthony right now. But again, I think that either way, the important part is making sure that the people he leaves behind don't target him. And looking at Damien and Esty, they are still talking about a potential backdoor of Adam moving forward, and winning this competition is only going to make that even more prominent in their minds, I have to imagine. I do think he can maybe sneak Damien away if he finesses it right, but Dane is not somebody to be messed with in that regard, and I think it might backfire if he tries it. But either way, I think he needs to succeed with that plan. He needs to be able to pull somebody over to his side, regardless of which side he is that he goes after here. So
I feel like it's Damien, because we were just talking about the fact that Adam and Damien, like in another parallel universe, like they should be allies in the Big Brother game. Yeah. And I do feel like Damien is just a trustworthy kind of mate who wants to, you know, have a good old time in the Big Brother house and go with people who he actually enjoys. Like, I don't know that he necessarily cares a ton about strategy. He just wants to be around people that he actually enjoys their company. So I feel like that's a natural fit with Damien and Adam. And, you know, like if he has Damien and Kira and Dane has Esty, you know, I know Damien might, his loyalties between Dane and Adam might be a little torn, but at least if he has them, then, I mean, who got, like, get rid of Mark, man. Like, I feel like the move is to go all in maybe and just put Mark and Anthony up on the block, or even Doom suggested in the chat, like suggesting to Mark and Anthony that I need to backdoor Esty here. I don't want to give her a chance to win the veto. So I'm going to put two strong players up on the block so that she doesn't suspect anything. Put Mark and Anthony up on the block and say, Anthony, you haven't felt the block. Mark, obviously, from my story, I have to put you up on the block. Let them both sit up on the block and then see what shakes out after the veto. But I think that may be a potential way to go.
Damien better be nowhere near the block this week. Like, initial nominee, backdoor, nothing. Like, I don't want Damien anywhere near the block, not even as like somebody defending Damien, just because they built something last week. Adam mm-hmm. saved Damien's life, and Damien recognizes that. Damien knows that he was out the door. Mark said that Damien was the target. Adam came in, put Corey on the block, and completely kept Damien safe. And they talked this morning. They seem to be on the same page. They said, we'll keep each other safe. So I think Damien would have upheld that if he had won HOH. I think he would have put up like Mark and Anthony and just like maybe Adam as like a replacement nominee if needed, but he really wouldn't have wanted to. So I think Adam needs to keep Damien safe this week.
Yeah.
And Damien potentially would do the same during the double, which is, you know, really important for Adam.
Totally. I absolutely agree. If Damien touches the block this week, I'm off the Adam train once again. Not because I like love Damien or anything, but because then it just shows me that Adam's a stupid player if he does that. So I really hope that Adam does not put Damien on the block. This could be a really quick fandom for me.
Yes, it has been pointed out a few times. The chat really wants me to talk about this, that I do still have all four draft players remaining in the game. And
signing off.
Very likely that all four of them are going to be in this game at the end of the week as well. I just wanted to point that out here.
I'm sure the chat really has been pointing that out. I've been monitoring the chat. I haven't seen anything about that.
Mel in the chat pointed it out just a few minutes ago, and other people were before.
And others.
So Mel, if you want to come and prove them wrong,
humble yourself, Karen. You're lying.
Yeah, just so we all are aware, I have Anthony, so you know, not that he's doing so hot right now.
There it is. Mel admitted it. There you go.
All I saw was an apology. I didn't see that they admitted it.
All right. Oh, there it is. There's the admission right there. You don't believe me. I can't believe you won't believe me, Melissa. I can't believe it. The fact that you would even question me is...
Taryn, you know what? I'm sorry you're intimidated by me.
Taryn, what's
I'm
it
not
been
intimidated.
Like, what's it been like sitting down for podcasts for the past like 3 days? You're usually a standard.
I don't like it. I wish I was...
It's a very different vibe.
I know.
Relaxed.
Just like chilling.
I didn't realize you stand. Do you stand for real?
That's insane. I literally would not. It's like those people at the office who have those stand-up desks, those standing desks, and you're like, okay, what are you trying to prove to people? You know? Yeah.
Now I'm standing.
So your computer's like five feet tall.
Much, Karen.
I have a desk.
Oh, okay.
A desk. It's very tall.
I've podcasted with you for how long, and I didn't know this.
You don't seem like
I'm very surprised, dude. I walk away all the time. I crouch down and jump back up.
Like you're doing this, like where you're moving around in your chair.
You see me like be like, oh, I'll be right back, and then I walk off camera.
No,
Karen's trying to show off. He just showed
up. I'm not that observant, all right.
Yeah, he's probably on an elliptical as we're going through the podcast.
He won't do that.
That's the next step, is to get the elliptical desk.
He's like, and we are working, and we're back.
I will turn it into the Aaron Sorkin podcast where I'm walking for the whole podcast. Yeah.
It's a walk and talk. He like hits us up in each room. It's like a new computer. He's like, all right, Matt, what do you think?
Well, yes. I'm just glad you're comfortable for a couple of days. This is a vacation after all.
It's more comfortable to stand. I'm like shifting around all over the place, and it's weird. Yeah. I don't like it. But apparently when the feeds came back during this podcast, there has been some drama going on in the house. Anthony and Kira got really into it on the feeds, and Kira was crying. Anthony was like laughing at them that they were crying. Anthony was really aggressively going after Kira, is what I'm reading.
It's so stupid on his part. Like, what is he doing? Like, Adam has Kira in his back pocket. Like, why in the world would you get into a fight with Kira, of all people, who, like, no offense to Kira, but it's really not important to Anthony's game right now. Like, but the one thing you can't do is get into a fight with them. I don't understand. Taryn, we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, we were so high on Anthony's game, but it was always with the caveat that, okay, well, when things don't go his way, how is he going to react? Like with Derek and BB16, like when things don't go his way, how is he going to react? And
we never saw it with Derek.
Yeah, exactly. But we got the answer here, and it's not well. And it just continues to show, like, he's really pissed that he lost that HOH competition. He could have won it. He didn't. Adam won, the guy he's really pissed at right now. And he just decided to take out a little anger on the easiest person from his perspective to push around in the house, in Kira. And I don't think that's a good look from the fandom or for the people in the house.
Yeah, and apparently Kira was like calling Anthony out on like, hey, you think you know everything. You use this mentor stuff to manipulate people. Like, you don't think I see right through it. Like, apparently like reading him for filth, like straight up, like spewing facts out of her mouth.
Best read on the house, yeah. Matt.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see it.
Yes. This happens a lot at the like when you get a little bit later in the season. It happened a lot with Dina Lohan. Just in terms of like when you have a lot of players who have been playing the game, and you look. I mean, Kira's been playing the game, but not as like outwardly, and the rest of the house doesn't see Kira as the player that they really are. So Anthony's kind of looking around now. Anthony's a little bit of hot water here. His number one ally just went out the door, and he's looking at Kira, who he doesn't think is a very big player in the game. He's like, "What do you think you're still doing? Like being in this game? Like you think you're all hot and big because you're still in the house and my ally just like, relax. Like, I'm the power player here. I'm the one in charge. Like, you take a seat. So that's, he pretty much just took out a lot of anger and aggression that he had on Kira for no great reason. And it's not, I would say, you know, Kira is no Dina Lohan. Kira is not somebody you want to mess with because Kira is smart. Kira has been paying attention to a lot for the entire season. And Anthony did not really, was probably not prepared for the battle that he got back from them.
Yeah, if you remember on the live feed updates, it was less than 2 weeks ago that I was talking about how Anthony had Kira in the palm of his hand, that he was talking to them about their BPD and how he had friends with experiences like that and how they were a lot stronger than anyone else in the house and that they've been through a lot and that he is there for them anytime they need him. And they were going to him anytime they got stressed or upset, they would go to Anthony and he would comfort them. And they were very, very close. And now it's less than 2 weeks later, it has all gone to complete chaos and he has completely lost them. And it really just goes to show like just how quickly this can go sour when you are not great at adapting to when things do not go your way, which is just such a huge part of the game, Melissa.
Yeah, totally. I'm a little disappointed in Anthony, if I'm being honest, because I was really thinking he had that Derek style game and I was excited to see how he carried it out down the stretch. It was a little boring, sure, to like have one person controlling the house. But at this point, that was really the only thing we could hang our hat on this season was like, yeah, but we've got to see Anthony do his work throughout the house, even though it hasn't been exciting. It's been really impressive to watch. And now it's like, okay, well, now he's totally imploding. And so that's not great. So what do we have now? The redemption story of Adam, maybe? I don't know. But it's a little more, just like Doom says in the chat, it's more Polly than Derek. It's like when we thought Polly was like, oh, this guy's got it. And then all of a sudden it just imploded for no reason whatsoever. So that's what this is.
Which is funny because Polly took so many cues from Derek. He went in with Derek's advice. He played Derek's game, only Polly was a lot more volatile and he ended in a much more dramatic and crazy fashion. And I think that Anthony is a little bit in between those two, where he is, as we've talked about, like Derek in his rookie season, who is a little more volatile. But again, as Brent mentioned, we never saw Derek not have things go his way. We never saw a twist that came in to take out Cody or to take out Victoria. We saw a twist come in to save Victoria. So like things really just always went Derek's way. And I've always wondered what would have happened if something had come along, if the wrong person had won HOH and something didn't go Derek's way, you know, where does that leave Derek? I have to imagine that Derek would handle it better than Anthony would, but I do think I saw signs of him. And I think there's something to this style of gameplay where you get so used to controlling absolutely everything that you can get a little overconfident and a little bit too much like, no, this is how it's going to go. And I refuse to accept anything else. Whereas you see the other big players like a Dan or a Will, like they are very, very adaptive and they will adapt to any situation that they find themselves in. And those two styles of play are very interesting. And obviously I'm more a fan of the adaptive style, but it's interesting to see Anthony deal with this and crumble so much. I don't think he's necessarily completely out of this yet because he has the advantage of not being good at competitions, so he's not that much of a threat. But it does seem like he has certainly lost a lot of his value, so to speak, in terms of the game. And it's hard to see how he comes away with a win here.
And putting aside, like, regardless of if he can get a hold on some allies again and make his way there, this conversation with Kira the house meeting, whatever just went down is not the way that you get your jury votes lined up, going forward. Kira was, like you said, somebody who was working, or at least friendly with Anthony. They had a relationship, and he's really throwing it out the window. Now we've been talking for a while now about whether or not Anthony can get jury votes in the end. And this is a pretty important one. Kira is somebody who can talk to other people, you know, talk to Adam, talk to Sam, whoever ends up in the jury house with them, if they, you know, end up in the jury house, and say, listen, this is what Anthony was like while you guys weren't there. He was awful. He was saying this and that, whatever. So he's really got to be careful if he has any consideration for what the jury is going to want.
Well, speaking of something that I forgot to mention during the episode recap part is Anthony's goodbye message, because in Anthony's goodbye message, he said, I promise you, I will find out who did this. I guess maybe he's talking about the secret assassin thing, but he's definitely not saying a lot, right? Like when Corey finds out all of the things that Anthony was involved in, it's going to look a little bad that he was like, hey, I'm going to find out what happened. Like Anthony has a pretty good idea what happened, and he's been a part of a lot of things that he never told Corey about, and he didn't get ahead of it in the same way that Paul never got ahead of it. And I don't know how that's going to land with Corey. My guess is that she ultimately sticks with Anthony, just because he had such a hold on her. But if I can see a situation where she separates from him, I think this is going to be part of it, where he really doesn't own up to anything in these diary room, in these goodbye messages. And he acts like he was absolutely on her side the whole time. And she's going to start to doubt that when she hears all the other stuff coming out about him.
Yeah, I don't think right away. I mean, right away, I have to believe that she's going to be all in on, you know, Team Anthony. You even said that, or she even said that when Arissa was like, you know, who are you rooting for? Who's going to win this thing? And she's like, my boy, Anthony, gag. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be something that takes right away. Obviously, as you said, you know, when more people come into jury, especially when one of the pretty boys comes into jury and lets her know everything that's been going on, It's definitely a possibility. On the other hand, I do feel like she's going to feel in her heart of hearts that Anthony was behind her the whole time. And, you know, it's true. I mean, like, even I can tell from the outside that Anthony was more all in on Corey than he really is on the pretty boys. Like, he's talking openly with Mark about, you know, I don't trust them. You know, I think we should, you know, possibly think about getting one of them out. You know, I don't know if we can put them back together. You know, watch what Adam's doing. You know, he's a snake. I don't know. I think that here's the thing. I think that she will think that he's been more loyal to her, even if he was a part of the Pretty Boys and didn't tell her everything. And I think that's probably right. I don't think that that's not. I think that that is probably more true than not.
Yes. All right. So unless there's anything else we need to talk about here, I think we can start to wrap this up.
Yeah, I had one more thing too. You know, Anthony did a lot of, in my eyes, bad things to his game in terms of Damien, because Damien knew that Anthony was not Team Damien from the jump. I mean, only in the past 24 hours did it flip over from I'm going to vote out Damien to I'm going to vote out SD for Anthony. And I'm like Luna on Twitter, I don't know if part of that has to do with Dane's harebrained scheme to get, for those of you who don't follow the feeds, Dane had a harebrained scheme where he was going to vote for SD. Basically, it was a 2-to-1-to-1 vote where Dane wouldn't have to vote out Corey. Obviously, in the end, that's not what he decided to do, but it was something that he kicked around for a while and Anthony knew about it. So I don't know exactly why Anthony ended up switching over, but he pissed off Damien earlier in the week by letting Damien know he wasn't going to vote to keep him and trying to keep Corey. Also, the fact that he voted to evict Esty now means Esty's pissed at him. They're fighting on the feeds right now. Esty's pissed about the fact that she voted to evict her, and obviously fighting with Kira. So Anthony's whipping it up all over the place, making friends left and right, Taryn.
It's not good. It's not good. Well, I think that's what we got for you here tonight. I will have. Yes, I will have my exit interview with Corey will be out tomorrow. So look out for that. I will, of course, have the question of who she's going to vote for in the jury, what her philosophy as a jury member is going to be, and all of that great stuff. So make sure you look out for that. I'm very curious to get that from Corey.
Ask her what she made of those goodbye messages.
Yeah, well, yes, that will definitely be a question. So tune in for that tomorrow, and we'll have some fun there. And then, of course, the live feed update will be perhaps a little earlier. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. And yeah, that's what we got for you. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Matt is at Matt Ligori. And Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 A's. 3 of them. So thank you all for joining us. We will see you next time.